Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez. My guest today is Ani Mustafa Ramos. She's a communications manager for, is it Rice? Is it pronounced Rice?
It's pronounced Rice with two C's.
Yeah.
R-I-C-C-E.
You have a program. That stands for Recovery Innovation Coordinator and Center of Excellence.
That is correct.
And she's the communications manager for it. And we're going to be describing what it involves, helping nonprofits in terms of their sustainability and their operations and their leadership. But I wanted, first of all, as I usually do with my guests, because I want the listeners to get to know them from a personal standpoint, you know, where they come from and how they arrived at where they are, which is, I always find a fascinating topic on everybody I know. So, Ani, give us a little summary of your background, you know, where you studied, where you were born, who your parents are, your siblings, and how you move forward to where you are for this particular position that we're going to be discussing.
Thank you, Jorge, and thank you for the opportunity to share a little bit with your community. What's my background on how I got involved, how I met you, and how I got involved here with this very, very nice program that we are doing with the non-for-profit organizations. Well, number one, I'm Puerto Rican. I was born and raised here, but I did have the opportunity to live abroad in different places. Besides the United States, I've lived in Washington, D.C., Florida, Indiana, Wisconsin, in the middle of nowhere. And I had the opportunity in my teen years, to live in the West Bank in Palestine, because my dad is Palestinian, but my mom is a Boricua.
Okay.
So I was raised with the influence. My dad is Muslim. My mother is Catholic. But they agreed, you know, the mediation process.
Agreed to disagree.
Agreed that we were going to be raised Catholic. If you,
you see how pertinent
yes,
that is?
Yes, it is. It is, you know. And so, but interesting. I had the opportunity to study in public and private schools, and including Mennonite, Quaker, Adventist, and Catholics.
Wow.
So I had a lot of influence, and of course, my dad being Muslim. You know, I don't know how, you've never seen me with hijab, you will never see me with one. I was not forced to it, neither. You know, my dad and I were very close, and he was a professor at the university, Inter-American University, and he was working at the Fomento Cooperativo at that time when I was living him. He's not living here at the moment. He's back in the West Bank, and he remarried, and I have other siblings from his second marriage, right? But I had all of those experiences.
How many siblings have you ever told?
Well, the first round we are three.
Three, okay.
And then the second round is four. You know, my dad, and they are the same age of my kids. So my kids are 28 and 27, and I have a brother that is, you know, 29, 27,
okay.
You know, and,
wow.
26.
Okay.
So they live in they are U.S.
West
citizens. West. Yes, just to make sure they are U.S. citizens, and but yeah, they live in the West Bank
they
and in Jerusalem.
Wow.
East Jerusalem.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So and they're all professionals. So I think my dad and my mom practice with me because the other ones are, you know, it kept improving, like we say, mejoró la raza, with the rest of my siblings, and I'm very, very proud of them all.
Mm-hmm.
The Puerto Rican side and, you know, the
Half
and half side.
And religious,
the
religious, are you religious? Or
I had a different, you know, bombarded when you go to a Christian or any religious school, you get bombarded by, you know, the
truth.
Well, their truth, right? Their truth.
Yeah.
And of course, I every time I had the opportunity to learn more about Islam, I would do it.
Mm-hmm.
At this point in my life, I'm a very spiritual person. So
not religious, but spiritual.
Not religious, but spiritual. And And if you see the backbone of any religions is the same. Peace, respect for everybody else, and that there's something bigger than us.
Yeah.
Something bigger than us.
Unfortunately, that's the basis of Judaism and Muslim and Islam, but too many don't practice what their teachers taught.
A lot of people like to confuse others in their confusion.
Yeah.
And, you know, for example, you know, Muslims, Christians, and Jewish people, they get along.
They have
Abrahamic, there are Abrahamic religions. And there's the same God. One of them calls them in English, in Arabic, in Spanish, but it's the same. It's the same God. So instead of people focusing on the things that have similar, some people, they just decide to focus on the, you know, differences.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's the root of all of the problems that we are encountering, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if we treat others like we would like to be treated, I think that's the only rule that we need.
Yeah. That was the rule that Jesus said. You know, treat your neighbor like you would like them to treat yourself, and you know.
And that's it. We don't need anything else. We wouldn't have any crimes. Nothing. We didn't need to have lawyers. Rory, sorry.
I don't. I tell the young people, don't become lawyers. I'm not a proponent of more lawyers. I agree with you 100%. On that. I'm always shocked, you know, Congreso de Líderes.
Uh-huh.
She asked me, she says, there's a lot of people who want to study law. I says, well, I'm not going to be the one going there to tell them to practice law. I want them to be business people. I want them to get involved, you know, in engineers. We have enough lawyers. And not that they're, they are needed because they're you know, contracts and some litigation has to be undertaken, unfortunately. So they're not, you know, it's necessary, but we have enough lawyers and that doesn't produce the wealth I think we need for Puerto Rico. Well, in any case, that's my, okay. So
that's my background.
Yeah.
So being able to,
and you studied, you said all these different schools, but in mm-hmm. terms of college mm-hmm. and university, you studied where?
So this was my, you know, the basis of what is my life, right? So being able to live in different places, not only abroad, but in Puerto Rico as well, because we live in Isabela, we live in Aybonito, we live in Bayamón. So I was able to finally, or we were able to finally live in Bayamón, and I went to study at the University of Puerto Rico, which is my alma mater.
Okay.
I have a bachelor's in marketing.
Okay.
From the University of Puerto Rico, the business school, and very proud of my alma mater, where I graduated. And in fact, the business school is celebrating its 100-year anniversary. And
In
2026,
okay.
A couple of, you know, months, and we'll be celebrating it. My alma mater is not only my alma mater. I had the opportunity to work. And I had the opportunity to, as an alumni now, preside the alumni chapter of the business school of the university with AFAE, Alumni Facultad de Administración de Empresa. So
mm-hmm.
I still carry some of those hats that they will not go away. So I'm very linked to my alma mater.
Right.
I'm proud of it, very proud of it.
Mm-hmm. And when we met, you were in the business school in the marketing kind of.
I was in the first international business center.
Okay.
That was in 1995.
95, exactly.
So I graduated in 1992, and I started to work at another university. And then, because I had the opportunity to work while I was studying. So this is something that I tell students, you know, take advantage of all of the things that you can do while you're at the university and, you know, get close to some of the professors. So, well, somebody recommended me to work with Paul Latortu, which fast forward eventually. At that point, I was working with him with an international business proposal. in international business for the business school, and I graduated, right, because I was only a student at that time. And then 2 years later, he was recommending me to this program.
Okay.
So I worked with Marisa Soto, Dr. Marisa Soto.
She's still.
She's not. She's working in another in the Mayagüez campus.
Okay.
Human resources. So we pair and we created the International Business Center based on a proposal from Paul Latortue. But then he goes to Haiti to work in Haiti, and so he was not running the program.
Is he still in Haiti?
No. He's here. He's in Puerto Rico. Okay. Yeah, but he's doing a lot of work in Haiti.
What a sad. I'd like to have him on the program.
Oh,
and talk
be
about Haiti.
Delighted to.
And right now, I just saw that the State Department is now saying that the Haiti Americans should not be visiting and should get out of Haiti, which
it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge.
Yeah.
So that's how we met with the International Business Center, the first international business, and it was a proposal from the Department of Education, and we had the opportunity to work there for 6 years and meet people that, you know, meet you through International Trade Services Association, ITSA, and then we have many people in common that we work, because international business was so small. So you remember Ingeniero Douglas Cummings, Edmundo Rodriguez, Felicia Correa, Rosemary Rodriguez.
There's still some of them still around.
Yes, you know? Some of them are around. And then
Ledesma.
Don Hector Ledesma, of course.
One of my favorites.
You know, and back in the 95, it was interesting. Bob Lee. Bob Lee. May he rest in peace. When I met him. We presented to him the program and what we wanted to do. You know, I'm young, my 20s, you know, eager to do a lot of things, you know, excited. And he goes like, oh, I've seen all that before. And I remember, well, let me prove that to you, that we are going to, you know, be doing something different. And eventually, we did great things.
Yeah.
We did great things. We were able to do the famous curriculum, the workshop, 10-week workshops and things like that for the business to teach about international business at that point. So fast forward now, I think sometimes we are kind of where we left in 1990, you know, in the 1990s, we are at the moment, and there were like a decade that we lost with many things.
Yeah,
so, but that's how we met.
Yeah, basically what we're talking about is with the person from Banco Popular. Now I can't remember his name. But he and I started up an organization called the International Trade and Service Association, ITSA. And basically it was to unite the educational, the government
and the private sector.
And the public sector and the private sector to work together for international services and to make Puerto Rico an export center. And, I was just,
TIAN 88, you know, the Tax Incentive Act of 98, which eventually evolved to, you know, what's now Act 60 with all of the incentive and the export services incentives. So, but it was born from that.
Yeah, I was reflecting with Annie that among the things that we had all kinds of seminars on how to do exports for the Puerto Ricans I remember two things that I thought we could move on, and one of them, one idea which we didn't reflect on before the program, but I remember trying to get groups of people that were in a particular business so that they could join together like the Koreans do and the Japanese do. Like say I remember one was the ferreteros, manufacturers of different
clusters.
Of construction materials and distributors of construction materials, they get together to then, as a group, export throughout the Caribbean and Central America, which we were involved in the Caribbean Central American Action and all these kinds of. But
and Don Tito Colorado, true.
So they get them together so that they could combine resources. And thereby reduce their costs so they could have six salesmen or 10 salesmen or 15 salesmen throughout the Caribbean
Those are the missions, the trade missions?
Well, no. This would be their, you know, they would be specialized. They would be specialized in the construction materials with, you know, would be the wiring products or the pipes or you know, nails or whether they were manufacturers and they were distributors of that, and they could then share the expenses of all these people and that's what they do with the I can't remember what they call these organizations, but you work together. That was one thing, the sort of how can we get groups of people working.
Consortios. Is that the consortios?
See, but they had I'll think of it. Well. But anyway, that was one thing. And the other thing that was really, we tried to push before, besides just individually helping people export their products and their services, the other one was to use Puerto Rico, the services that we could render in Puerto Rico for persons from outside. And it was the by coincidence, it's this article by Gustavo Vélez precisely says that. Let me see if I could find that article. But basically, it was to develop our educational schools that are bilingual, that people could come and study in Puerto Rico, or our hospitals and our medical facilities, so they would come. So it's you know, like Houston, it's nothing really new. I mean, Houston, Boston, Cleveland, the incredible for educational and for health and medical services. So we could do that. It can be done overnight, mm-hmm. but we have the resources, we have the expertise. Mm-hmm. We need, you know, for that, for the educational, they have to put the dormitory or the residences together and the programs, and they're doing that a little bit more than they used to. But anyway, that was what ITSA was all about. And by coincidence, this article by Gustavo Vélez, it just popped out, as I said at the beginning of the program. We run out of time in the second segment. I told Danny, I said, Danny, you're going to be amazed at how these segments just fly before. But before I leave, I mean, I'll come back to it. But basically, he says in his article, que el efecto neto es que en esencia, talking about Bad Bunny and his program, el evento representa un evento de exportación de un servicio con la diferencia que para poder consumir el producto hay que venir a Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. In essence, that these events, the Bad Bunny events, is an exportation of services, with the difference that the consumer of the product mm-hmm. has to come to Puerto Rico, which is exactly what ITSA was mm-hmm. to a great extent all about, and we were pressing on it. So anyway, segment's over. Hector's ready to knock me out. We'll be right back after the pause. My guest is Ani Mustafa Ramos, and this is your host, Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections. We'll be right back.